Its current state on 90.5 WKAR. Folk singer Tom Chapin will be in East Lansing for a couple of performances this weekend. He's the featured artist at this week's 10-pound fiddle concert at the Unitarian Universalist Church on Grove Street in East Lansing. That's at 8 p.m. Friday. Chapin will perform at the City of East Lansing's Children's Concert Series on Saturday at 11 at the Hanna Community Center on Abbott Road as well. And current state Scott Pohl talked with Tom Chapin this week. Welcome, Scott.
Well, it's always good to be back. Thanks.
What's up with Tom Chapin these days?
Well, Tom's been in the music business for five decades, Mark. He started out with a family act that included his late brother, Harry Chapin. As you can tell with the show on Saturday that's specifically for children, he has a love for family-friendly music, and like lots of folk musicians, he has a big social conscience perspective. In his case, it's feeding the hungry, a cause that Harry Chapin had championed. Tom Chapin told me about his plans for the weekend shows, which include some Harry Chapin favorites. If you haven't heard him sing, you'll find out that he sounds quite a bit like Harry, by the way. And Tom's been here before. He says he likes playing in East Lansing.
Well, I do. The nice thing is that I haven't been there in a while, when you come, you find people who remember you and want to hear good music and want to sing and want to hear some of the old songs and some of the new stuff. And I'm going to have a chance not only to do a 10-pound fiddle on Friday night, which will be lovely, but on Saturday morning doing a family show, a kid show. So I kind of get a chance to stretch.
I want to talk about both of those performances, but I thought I'd get to something you just said, some of the old songs and some of the new songs. Why don't you tell me one or two of the favorite old songs that your longtime fans are looking forward to hearing? And then I also want to hear about maybe some of the newer stuff you're planning on playing when you're in town.
Well, you have to first realize that I'm a folk musician, which means planning is the last thing we do. But I remember playing an opening act for Conway Twitty once, and I talked to the band and said, "How long does he play?" And they said, 52 minutes. Unless he talks, then he does 53 minutes. And I'm a little different world, which is that I'll have a kind of a game plan, and then when I'm there, things move it and change it, which is part of the delight of it.
And as the mood strikes you.
As the mood strikes me, and as the audience strikes me, and those things happen. So it's a little bit more like a jazz thing than it is like a classical thing, you know, where I'm going to play this thing for 17 minutes and this. But obviously some of the old songs are the songs both my adult and my family recordings. Pete Seeger just died, and so I'll probably do a song or two of his. And my late brother Harry's, probably do Cats in the Cradle and Circle, which are things that I always feel I should do, though.
And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, I don't know when. We'll get together then, son. We're gonna have a good time then.
And I have now 23 CDs, working on a 24th. So it'll be got a lot of material to draw from, and I'm looking forward to it.
So the family-friendly or kids show on Saturday will differ in what way? If you're going to sing some of those songs on Friday night, what will be different about Saturday?
Well, Saturday will be all stuff from my 13 family recordings. And those I sort of know more particularly. It'll probably be a younger audience. So I'll do things like Big Rock Candy Mountain and This Pretty Planet and Family Tree and Together Tomorrow and some of the songs that are kind of... because I've been doing this for 25 years now, these recordings, there's a kind of a Tom Chapin family canon of songs. And also on my website, tomchapin.com, there's a place where people can actually request songs. And often people will send in and say, "Could you play Cousins, please?" You know.
They pulled into the driveway like a frigate dropping sail. And out came Butch and Mike and Bill and Ben and Baby Gail. Uncle Hugh looked hassled, but Aunt Bess was all aglow. Hello!
Hi!
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 Yo!
Cousins, cousins, here come the boys. Bedlam, mayhem, noise, noise, noise. Blow up the air mattresses, hide the breakable toys. Cousins, cousins, here come boys.
There's so many songs now that no matter, you know, you play an hour and there's going to be some song that they wished you'd played and you don't know that until afterwards.
I wanted to ask you how widely known you think it is amongst your fans that you have this second part of you, so to speak, that does these family-friendly or children's recordings or programs like Saturday that are designed to include children. Does your fan base know about that typically?
I think so. It's what's really interesting is that it's really, you know, I remember Toshi Seeger, Pete Seeger's wife, once said to me, you know, if you don't watch out, you'll be just known as a children's performer. And of course, her husband Pete and Woody Guthrie and Tom Paxton and you go down the line. If you're a folk musician, you end up playing for everybody. But to answer your question, yes, I think people pretty much know that there's two strands to my to the river that I walk in. There's the one side is singing for you and me, and for grown-ups and with ideas and stories and political stuff and the stuff that interests you and me. And then there's the other side, which is a family concert, which is also, if I do it right, it's interesting for you and your six-year-old, you know, or your six-year-old grandchild. If you and I were talking and there was a 4 to 10-year-old in this conversation, we'd have a little bit different conversation. So what's different about it is the family show will have songs written by myself and my friends, John Forster and Michael Mark and John Cobert, that are specifically aimed at that age. And I've been totally thrilled with how people accept both sides and always have. And as I say, it's part of the territory that I grew up with. And once you have children, it changes your world.
You brought up your late brother Harry earlier, and I'm glad you did, because one thing I was going to ask you about is if you are ever interviewed and Harry's name doesn't come up, because he became so famous and died so prematurely, so tragically. I must tell you that in 1977, back in those days, I was writing a newspaper column with record reviews and concert reviews, and I had the pleasure and honor of interviewing Harry on the telephone before a Michigan appearance in Kalamazoo that year, and went to see the show in Kalamazoo. I consider that one of the high points of my interviewing career, that I got a chance to talk with Harry Chapin. So I'd like to hear you talk a little bit about your brother Harry, what he has meant to you, not just on a personal level or a family level, of course, but as a musician and as a songwriter.
Well, I mean, Harry was 2 years older than me, and we started as the Chapin brothers. The summer I was 12 and Harry was 14. And my younger brother, Steve, was 11. We heard a recording called The Weavers at Carnegie Hall. And the Weavers were Pete Seeger, Ronnie Gilbert, Lee Hayes, and Fred Hellerman, and that the seminal folk group in the 40s and 50s. And when we heard that recording, we listened to it all summer long, and it changed our world. End of the summer, Harry said, "We could do that." And he got a 5-string banjo, and I got a guitar, and Steve got a bass, and we became the Chapin Brothers. And for 10 years, we sang together. And so we were very close, and in musically as well as in the family way, you know, sense. And we grew up together, so it's really almost impossible to talk about how Harry influenced me, because we did it together, and the learning was so connected. But after his death, you start to realize what an amazing body of work the music is, and also, of course, the humanitarian side, the hunger work. If you talk about Harry and my sense of Harry always was, we could do that. It's always we, very much like Pete Seeger, actually, never talking about me, but about we. You know, if we get together, we could do this. And Harry always felt, you know, we could end hunger in the world, which is a pretty large, pretty large dream. And it certainly hasn't happened in the 32 years since Harry's died. But those things he started, World Hunger Year, which now is called Why Hunger, and Long Island Cares, and the enormous number of people who were really affected by his commitment and his ideas, and who have taken over and kept those things alive. It's a pretty remarkable and legacy. And I'm totally proud and thrilled that people remember Harry so well. And the songs are great, you know. I mean, the body of work, if you look at Taxi and 30,000 Pounds of Bananas and Cats in the Cradle and Circle, and, I mean, you go down the line, it's a pretty strong, you know, musically. But then he has a whole other side to it, so it's really interesting. And I'm just thrilled to talk about Harry. The great, of course, sadness in is that he missed so much his daughter Jen, who is singing full time now, Jen Chapin, and my daughters Abigail and Lily, who are singing as the Chapin sisters, and he would have been thrilled about that. Not to mention, of course, his grandchildren and all that. So in holidays, we miss him in a family way. But a remarkable guy, and I feel blessed that I was, that I grew up with him.
Who's playing with you, if anyone, when you come to East Lansing? Are you coming alone or bringing any side musicians?
I'd love to bring my band, but it's a small club, and there's a lot of airfare going, so I'll be solo. I'll be bringing my friends the six-string guitar, my banjo, and an auto harp, and singing songs of all shapes and sizes. And I've got to really love the club dates that I've been doing recently because it's really intimate, and it'll be fun to explore again. I feel really blessed to be able to do this kind of music and make a living at it. You know, it's hard to believe it's a job.
Well, Tom Chapin, I hope you enjoy your visit back to East Lansing. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks so much, Scott, and hope you come by Friday or Saturday.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.
And that's our show for today. Coming up tomorrow on Current State, we learn about the MSU Wind Symphony's trip to Carnegie Hall. That and more tomorrow on WKAR's Current State. The executive producer of our program is Peter Worf. Joe Lindstroth is the Current State producer. Thanks also to Emmanuel Berry, Melissa Benmark, Scott Pohl, and Kevin Lavery. Also to Aaron Young for engineering and Hannah Michaeljohn for production assistance. I'm Mark Bayshore. Thanks for joining us on Current State on WKAR.